There's a marvelous book called Freedom of the Hills about mountaineering. And they said that if you have a mountaineering group of mountaineers, and if your goal is a casual one and you aren't climbing that high, you don't really need any kind of leader on the trip. But if you're going to the highest summit, you do need a leader. Just before I came to Ananda, I had read the guidebook, and then I climbed Mount Shasta. And I noticed that there was this dry lake called Lake Helen where a lot of people camp. And then I thought, well, that seems kind of low. It's only 10,000 feet. And so let me climb higher. And so I climbed up the Red Banks and up onto Misery Hill, about 13,500 feet. And I set down my $50 tent. And when I woke up in the morning, I could see all the way to Oregon and all the way to the Sutter Buttes, and a lot of strong winds blow through there, but it was just perfectly still. And I realized how foolish I was that I was going up there without a guide and just slept in the most exposed area possible. Well, in Kriya Yoga, we're trying to go from matter consciousness to cosmic consciousness. And it's a lot higher of a height that we're trying to achieve because it's a height of consciousness. And we not only need to read the route that we're going to, but we need a guide that goes with us constantly, every moment. And Lahiri Mahashai said that, think of me, how can I help you if you don't? And as we do Kriya, do it moment to moment with the gurus. Swami Kriyananda said that you can pray and you should pray. How can I do it better? Show me how, Master. Show me. And just draw these deepest truths that we're trying to learn can't be read in a book. It's only in deep meditation. And it's only our communion with the technique, but really with the guru, that will enable us to really learn the depth of Kriya Yoga. When Master tells us something about how we should practice Kriya Yoga, we should take it to heart, shouldn't we, and act on it. And one of the things he said is that we should do Kriya with a sense of joy. And I thought a lot about that and trying to understand, what does that mean? Well, God is joy, and we're trying to unite with that joy, aren't we? And we're doing everything we can. That's what's so beautiful about the order. Swami Kriyananda was talking about people, they say, well, my mind is so active today. I'm so restless. I have to quiet my mind. But he says, you don't need to quiet your mind. You need to quiet your heart. And as soon as we still our desires, then the mind naturally becomes quiet because we're focused on God. We aren't focused on outwardness, on things of this world. And so there's the beautiful phrase in Master's poem, "From joy I came," or "From joy I came, for joy I live. In sacred joy, I melt again." And this universe was made in joy. I remember I was hiking up through a remote canyon up in desolation, and it was an area that wasn't traveled very much. And as I was going through the wilderness, I could actually started to hear the flowers, the monkey flowers and the lupins, all singing as like representatives of a universal joy. And they were all proclaiming that joy, the little waterfalls and the mossy rocks. And it was a thrilling experience. And then I walked over towards the cliffs, and I found a little tarn, a little snow-melted pool, and it had big glacier rocks around it. And it was almost like a little chamber, and I was sitting there, and it was just vibrant all around me. And then a little bird, a little water bird, a dipper, came and landed on the lake, and he would fly to each little rock. And then he came right in front of me, about just a couple yards away. And it just started singing. And then the echoes of his song was reverberating in this little chamber. And it was just, I just felt it was Divine Mother saying, you know, live in joy. Life is joy. And it was it was just a very moving experience because that's what life is. But just as the chant that we sang today, night and day, in thy joy. That's the promise of Kriya Yoga. In the Gita, it said, when we meet God, it's God's light is as bright as 1,000 suns. And the way to experience that for all of us is to follow the path of Kriya Yoga. Swami Kriyananda is such a beautiful example. He said that his heart often can't contain the joy that he's feeling anymore. And we've read of so many other great practitioners of this path, and this has been the destination for all of them. And it's very thrilling to meet such a person or to read about them, to keep the presence in your heart of our gurus that have experienced that state. But it's hard to fathom the consciousness of a liberated master. We're trying, and through our efforts of the Kriya Yoga technique. And so when Swami Kriyananda, he asked me to, Anandi and I, to help with the Happiness and Success book at the very end, just to try to bring a little focus to all the wonderful things he talked about in the chapter that he wrote. His words were advice, is make things real to your consciousness. And I thought, well, how could you make the sense of joy? Because joy comes when we concentrate that joy. And energy is life, and energy is God. How can you have more clear idea of really the potential for Kriya? Swami Kriyananda also said that we should do Kriya Yoga with a sense of privilege. And I thought a lot about what he meant by that, and some of the things that I thought he might have meant by that is do it with a full understanding of the great potential that you that is there for Kriya Yoga and the ramifications, so that you do Kriya with a sense of awe and a sense of deep gratitude for what you're trying to do and the help in which you're trying to accomplish it. And so I was reading about Master's words about the life force, and he said that it's cosmic energy that has created all the planets and all the organisms that live throughout the universe. And then it's life energy that comes into each organism. And it sort of knows its connection with cosmic energy, but as it starts to identify more and more with individuality and body consciousness and that, it loses its connection of its tie-in with cosmic energy. And then Master has said that this life energy gets locked up in the body, and most people's spines are paralyzed. Well, we've all heard Paramahansa Yogananda's example of if you take a gram of flesh and has enough energy to run the electrical needs of Chicago for a week. Well, I was reading further where Yoganandaji said that in our bodies, we have 27 trillion cells, and our spinal and brain cells, they have the ability to open up to the cosmic source. And then he said, all the other cells in our body, they are they're intelligent, and that we aren't alone in the universe. They all have that intelligence in them, and they all have to be worked with. And that's the problem why we experience the challenges that we have in life today. Anandi's wonderful class on energization, it really brought home to me how we're trying to really reach all the cells of our body through the energization exercise by really awakening them and turn their north-south or their polarity to north-south so the energy can really flow back towards the cosmic source. And then, so I wanted to make it more concrete, this sense, and so I started reading about the Mississippi River, because Swami has talked a lot about how when you withdraw the energy and each chakra has a tributary that, you know, feeds that chakra and then goes into the deep spine, and then how it's just a mighty river that just gets increasingly stronger as it goes. But to ground that, actually this last year I've been reading about the Mississippi River, and I've found a lot of amazing things that are really a parallel to what is happening in the spine, and it's helped me to have a sense more of what the potential is in our Kriya Yoga practice. At the headwaters of the Mississippi, the flow rate is just 6 cubic feet a second. Not very much. You can even walk across the Mississippi River. But if you then go all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico, the flow rate is 600,000 cubic feet per second, 100 times greater. And that's after it's taken all the water of all the major rivers that have flown into the Mississippi. When the first Spanish explorer saw the Mississippi River, he said it's called the River of the Holy Ghost. Another name for the Mississippi is the Father of the Waters. and then there was another startling example. It said that, not every bit of water has the blessing to be in the channel of the river. Some water lands on the land and just absorbs in the earth, and it's not flowing very much. In fact, if it's going as groundwater, it's just traveling about 4 inches a day. And so they figured that it would take 100,000 years from water traveling through the earth to reach the Gulf of Mexico. But if that raindrop fell in the river, it would just take 90 days. So that raindrop would beat the groundwater by 400,000 times. And when you look at incarnations that we go through and how Master said that this is a super quick method to finding God, it sort of grounds that thought in ourselves. Just another sidelight, the Mississippi carries 486,000 tons of sediment into the ocean. And you just think of the purification that happens in the spine when we can really go deep enough. And where Swami Kriyananda said that when we can interiorize ourselves and the master has said, do each Kriya deeper than the one before, because the goal is to try to go further and further into the channels of the spine until eventually the energy flows unidirectionally. And then that's when a Kriya practice becomes more and more dynamic. Well, I want to do a visualization with you. And I was meditating this week, and actually it was before Maria's wonderful class, but I heard the words, "Let my people go," and I was thinking of all the, because I was thinking of the tributaries of the Mississippi and the tributaries in my body and trying to draw that energy into the spine after the practice of Kriya. And most of us know the story in the Bible where the Lord came to Aaron and to Moses, and he said, go to the Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. And the Pharaoh, who represents ego consciousness, said, no way, I can't let the Israelites go. And and what happened? Well, the land of Egypt in this example represents the nation or the body. And so Egypt was visited by all kinds of plagues. And actually, I should mention that the Jews represent the life force, the energy that needs to be freed from the body. And so but the Pharaoh didn't want to let the Jews go. And so all these plagues came, hail and fire and frogs and lice and darkness, and for 3 nights. And the firstborn, the children had died. And I was thinking about that, what had happened, what happens to us when we, in ego consciousness, won't let the life force be free of the body. Well, aren't we, don't we suffer? Don't we experience all the limitations that happen? And so it's just meditation. You might want to try it sometime. Actually, we'll do this with the visualization after you've done your practice of Kriya, and you're very interiorized, and your prayers have been nonverbal, of just reaching up for the light, feeling the divine presence within. Swami said something very beautiful, and I've meditated a lot on it. He said that when we look at the spiritual eye, we should feel that we're looking at it with a cooperation of the whole spine and all your chakras. And what he's essentially saying is that the cooperation of all the cells of our being and turned in a north-south polarity, and letting that energy flow inward deeper in the sushumna. And so, well, why not all the body? Why not all 27 million, or trillion, excuse me, I apologize, cells that live in our body? Can't we ask their cooperation? Paramahansa Yogananda said that most people aren't even omnipresent in their whole body. They're just in their minds. And so to really try to call on that, Parvati was giving a Sunday service years ago, and she said something that really struck me, and I've remembered it all these years. It was something that Master had said, that when you're sunbathing, if you're just kind of just not very conscious, you can get a little bit of benefit from the sun. But if you consciously try to draw the sunlight into yourself, you can get 100 times as great benefit through your practice of sunbathing. Well, isn't that true for any of our techniques or any spiritual practice that we do, is to have that sense of what are we trying to do, and then to have our sense of real clarity by it. And you know, there's so much to the practice of Kriya that, you know, we'll be focusing on different elements and stuff, but if we have that general sense and try to draw that in, our practice can be more dynamic. So I would like you to, for this visualization, to sit up. And I'd like you to close your eyes. Swamiji has said that visualizations can help us to awaken the soul's memory of our deeper reality. And we're the little body, but God's body is space. And if you want to feel Him, feel space in the body and all space beyond it. Those were words of Master. And so we want to make our body really big as the Mississippi River. You cover over 41% of the continental United States. You spread from Alberta to Alabama to New York, to New Mexico. You cover 33 states. in two provinces. Feel how big your body is. You cover over 1.25 million square miles. And the length of you is over 2,340 miles long. Now visualize all the cells in your body and pray, let my people go. Let the life force withdraw and come home back to spirit. See all of your 27 trillion cells cooperating in this endeavor and releasing the stored up life force back into your deep spine. Visualize your spine as a mighty river flowing inside of you. Feel its magnetic current rising upwards from the base of your spine to your spiritual eye merging in the vast ocean of spirit. Feel streaming into your chakras rivers of divine joy. Feel all your chakras and your whole spine nourished by inflowing rivers of bliss. Pray, O divine bliss, I return to thee. Om, you can open up your eyes now and keep your bliss at your spiritual eye. I've been reading Purushottama's book and Vyasa's book on the yugas, and it's so amazing, the book. And I was thinking of the parallel between our practice of kriya and the yugas, and when our planet goes closer to the galactic center, we feel a divine magnetism, and that energy is enough to change the consciousness of everyone on the planet, like from material, that all things are material, to all things are energy, to all things are thought, and all things are divine. And the same thing happens to us when we come and we concentrate the energy in ourselves. And it's like the Earth coming to the galactic center and being totally transformed. Well, the same thing happens to our own consciousness. I was in London with Swami Kriyananda, and he was going up to take the boat back to Ananda in Southampton with Brian and Lisa and Powers, and he was waiting outside of security, and my ride hadn't come yet, and he turned to me and he said, is this someone I should meet? And the person was late, and he wasn't really making an effort to meet Swami. I said, no, sir. But I was very struck by Swamiji's comment, because we've received so much blessing through our practice of Kriya and the grace of our attunement with our masters. And it's so important to share this joy, isn't it? And to really radiate it outwards. We can't always share the path, but there's a beautiful story of Swami in the hospital where he was sitting there and there was an elderly man there that was pretty unconscious, and I think he had had a rough go of it. And Swami just looked at him and said, that's a real beautiful coat you have. And the man just perked up. And Swami just gave him some of his energy. And so we do that so well. Ananda is all about service, but we're feeling that joy within, and then for that joy to just be more expansive and really reflect the highest states of consciousness, we need to share that joy with the world. Thank you.